Recordings have been started.
Thank you very much, Dale. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG Open Policy Meeting on Friday, the 10th of February, 2017. On the call today, we have John Carr, Matthias Hongbo, Stefania Milan, Aiden Ferdelin, Rafik Damak, Arshad Mohammed, Yol Hilsingus, Tapani Tarvayan, Ed Morris, Avery Doria. On the phone bridge, we have Dorothy Gordon, Akinremi Peter Taiwo. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Tapani.
Thank you, Mariam. So this is Tapani for the record. We have a bit longer agenda than usual today, and I have a few AOB items I want to note at this point. Already, first, as you have heard, Amr just resigned from the council, having joined the staff, which has some repercussions we might want to talk about. And I'd also like to bring to the table, as a discussion item here, we'll take it to the exit committee AC later, that the status of the candidate constituency, consumers constituency. In particular, at this point, since we have Dorothy on the call, I want to make sure, will you be at the end? If not, then I'll take that early on as an item, because there are some points that I want to discuss. Dorothy, can you confirm you'll be at the end of the call? Okay, maybe she's not here listening, but...
Hi, are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, and you said you wanted me to be at the end of the call for what purpose? I'm sorry, you're not that clear in my line.
I'm going to move for the terminator consumers constituency that's been a candidate constituency for a long time. So I'm going to make a motion that we will terminate it. This is not a decision item on this call. This is a discussion item. The executive committee will talk about it. But if you have any comments to say on that, I want to hear them. This would be a good time.
Has this been discussed before with the membership?
Yes.
Hello. Okay. Did you hear me?
Yes, what did you discuss with the membership? Okay, let's put this AOB item now since we are talking about it. Just quickly, do you have any problem if we simply terminate the candidate constituency status? Because it hasn't really...
If it is for me, it's for a group of people, if I understand what you're talking about. And so if that is the case, it should be discussed with the group.
Okay, I don't even know who are in the candidate that consumers constituency, so it would be nice to hear.
I think then the first step would be to find out who is in it, and then we have the discussion with the people in the group, and then if whatever the group agrees to, that should be tabled at the meeting on the basis of the discussion with the group, and then it would be endorsed. But I think it's very difficult to have a meeting and the people in the group have not been consulted and then we come to a decision. But I'll be very interested in hearing your arguments as to why you believe it should be terminated.
Okay. I'll ask you then to be in touch with that group and let me know what happens. But let's move on with this agenda then, because that was a bit... and any other business category. So the Standard Selection Committee discussion is the first item here. Avery, you had your hand up. Was it about the candidate constituency or something else?
Yes. No, I had my hand. This is Avery speaking. I had my hand up about the previous discussion item, but when you moved on, I took my hand down. But I was going to say something on that previous issue.
Yeah, please say it.
Oh, okay. I think I was definitely on that group's list. There is no group. The group has not talked. The group has not had any interaction. But if I understand the charter correctly, it's really a NCSG executive committee action to basically do a review of the candidate constituency, say, oops, there's nothing here, okay, and end its candidacy, I think is the procedure that's defined, as opposed to taking it to a larger vote. Now, of course, if the community disagrees with that EC decision, then they can petition for a larger community vote on it. But at this point, I believe if I understand the way the charter is written, bylaws, it is that the EC basically was supposed to review them after 6 months, decide whether the candidacy was viable and whether it was about to become or not. Have your 6-month review. Thanks.
Yes, but the reason I brought it up now is because I just put on the agenda for the next executive committee meeting, and I noticed Dorothy was here, and so I decided to ask, put a sort of alert that this is about to happen. So, but you're absolutely correct about the process, except that we are way past the 6 months now. Okay. So, that's for the executive committee to decide, but this was just a note here to alerting you that it's about to happen, as is the constituency review in general. But moving to the agenda, standard selection committee discussion. Ed, would you like to pick this one up?
Sure. Okay, thank you. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Okay, we're going to have a discussion, at least it's on the agenda, for the council agenda, of trying to create a standing selection committee for GNSO appointments. And a little background on how I got involved with this. Back when we were selecting a candidate for, the GAC liaison, I have to recall what it is. Aubrey, for example, was one of the candidates, and I felt very strongly she was the most qualified. And we had a selection process that went to the chair and the vice chairs of the GNSO Council, and it was sort of like the election of a pope. It came out with white smoke. This is the person we're going to select. We had no knowledge of the number of candidates, who they were, their qualifications. So Susan Kawaguchi and myself were a bit upset at the lack of transparency and, quite frankly, of the process. So we started talking among ourselves. We started talking with James Bladell and the vice chairs. So Susan and I were assigned the task of coming up with at least an initial draft of a selection standard, how we could appoint people, because with the empowered community, the GNSO is going to have a lot of appointments. So we wanted to create some sort of standard procedure for appointing people to positions. So about 2 months ago, Susan and I came up with a proposal of creating a standing committee. But before we could actually perfect the proposal, the SSRR2 review team endorsements were to be made. So we more or less stopped working this. Susan and I were asked to join Donna Austin, Heather Forrest, and James Bladell on the team that selected the SSR2 representatives. And I'm happy to note, I think we did a fairly good job. We used the procedure Susan and I had designed, not strictly, but more or less as a resource to take a look at to guide us. And the NCSG did quite well. We had two candidates of the 13. One of them, James Gannon, received one of the guaranteed slots. He will be on SSR2. And Naveed was the other candidate, and he was in the next set of four candidates who would be considered for any open slots. And I know they had a meeting on Tuesday. Dipani, I don't know if you've heard the results. I don't know if Nindavi got it or not, but I think overall the procedures worked well for the NCSG. So moving onward, the same five people then came back and had a meeting last week to try to fine-tune the proposal that Susan and I had made. Unfortunately, I had a power outage. Susan had a conflicting meeting, James Bladel had a funeral to attend to, so only two folks were on the call. But what came out of that call was a refinement of the proposal Susan and I had made. Some of the stuff was needed, a definition of consensus, things like that. But there were one major change that I'd like to talk about, but also something we were going to leave for the full council initially. So let me get to that first. There is disagreement over who should be on the standing committee. We all agreed on our small team that the council chair and two vice chairs should be part of the selection committee. Then the disagreement comes down to one of the traditional disagreements we always have with the CSG. The CSG reps wanted to have the constituencies each to appoint one individual to be on the selection team. I, on the other hand, said, no, we want to do this the way the GNSO is designed, one representative per stakeholder group. And we knew, Susan and I knew from the start, we were not going to be able to come to an agreement. So we proposed and was accepted by the larger group to leave that for the full council. The traditional NCSG position always is to do things by stakeholder group and not by constituencies on council. If you look at a post I made yesterday in response to some questions from Rafiq, I gave you the numbers. We would be disadvantaged by going to the constituency model. The contracted party house would be eviscerated by doing that. So I think it is in our interest, and it's also in the interest for a functioning GNSO to have the appointees to the standing committee be done by constituency and not by stakeholder group. But number two was the change that was made by the two folks who showed up for the meeting and staff. Susan and I believe very strongly that we needed to have a very diverse appointments policy where all stakeholder groups were represented equally as best we can on our appointees. So the initial plan had two parts of what we called our stakeholder group rotation. For review teams, where you have three endorsees who are guaranteed spots in the review team, we simply wanted to have a rule that stated that no more than one of the three guaranteed slots should go to any individual stakeholder group. So as a practical matter, three of the four stakeholder groups would have appointees on any review team. Now, for the one that got left out, we also wanted to have an additional rotation. That stakeholder group, which was not part of a guaranteed appointment for the review team that was currently being considered, would be guaranteed a slot on the next review team. So, for example, on the SSR2, the registrars did not get a guaranteed appointment. So then they would be guaranteed an appointment on the next review team. We'll be appointing people for, I'm not sure what it is. It may be ATRT3. I'm not sure. I know we have one coming up that we have to discuss at the meeting. So in other words, we were trying to get a rotation. So no stakeholder group would be left out for two straight review teams, and that every stakeholder group could have a reasonable chance of having an appointment for each and every review team. I think it's particularly important for the NCSG to try to press this policy and get this. Anyway, this was left out to a general diversity statement in the reformulated proposal. From an NCSG perspective, I can tell you on the SSR2 review in our deliberations, if it was not for the stakeholder group requirement, James Gannon would not have been selected for one of the three positions, and Naveed would not have been selected for one of the seven positions. We would have been shut out. Largely because what I find, and I found in the past in some of the other work I've done in this area, non-commercial applicants, we have a different skill set. So, for example, in the SSR2, one of the requirements was, you have to have experience in corporate security. Well, guess what, folks? Naveed, when I looked at his CV, I was astonished at how much work this man has done in the computer security field. The guy has a PhD in the area from a university in France, is well qualified, but guess what? He's an academic. He hasn't done corporate security. James, on the other hand, had a lot of experience in the area, but they wanted someone with a little bit higher educational background than he did. So what I found is when you look at the contracted party houses, or even the BC in this case, they have folks that are employed full-time in this industry. And as such, folks from the BC, folks, and particularly from the contracted party house, my belief is that over time, they'll be presenting more and more candidates who, on paper, will outskill our folks, largely because they do this professionally. So So I think for our interest, we need to have some sort of stakeholder group rotation. I've spoken to Susan about this. She feels as strongly as I do. And so what we've agreed to do is we'll be getting together in Reykjavik early on. We're going to try to come up with some alternative language to that which has been proposed for the discussion that reinstates some semblance, maybe a little bit different, of the stakeholder group rotation. So we're guaranteed that no stakeholder group is shut out to two RTs in a row, and that no stakeholder group has a monopoly on any one RT. So once we get that out, we'll post it to the council list. I hope we'll have a chance to talk to all of our councils about this in Reykjavik before the meeting on the 16th and try to reinstate some sort of rotation. And as well, we need to go in understanding we also have to talk about the composition of the committee. Do we want it to be by constituency or, as I think we traditionally would have preferred, by stakeholder group? So that's what's going on there. I'm happy to answer questions and we'd love to hear some views on the topics I just spoke about. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Ed. Has anybody have comments or questions about this? Okay, sounds like it was so comprehensive description of the events that everybody's happy with it. So thank you, Ed, also for doing the work and not just for explaining it to us. Okay, seeing no hands up.
One additional thing to Pani. James has a desire to actually have this triggered for the next review. I don't think that's going to be practicable. So we may on council have to decide how to handle the next review. And secondly, once we have the review team up, we'll have to wait until find out whether constituencies or stakeholder groups will be appointing our representatives. It's designed for councilors to actually be on the committee, but I made quite sure that we could use a non-counselor if that was what we wanted to do. But that's something we have to think about within the next month or so. We're going to have to appoint people to these positions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that, Ed. Anybody else on this topic? Okay. Let's move on then. The next item we have some discussion about the CCWG accountability work group proposal for limited scope of the IATRT3 review. Unless there are nobody else volunteers, Avery, would you care to pick this up? No? I think you're pretty much the expert here. Stephanie asked for it to be on the agenda, but she's not present.
Sorry, my attention had wandered. So we're on the CCWG Accountability Working Group proposal for a limited scope on the ATRT3 review. Yeah, if I had read the agenda, I probably would have known you were going to call on me. Apologies. Okay, so it's time, according to the MOU, it was time for ATRT3 a couple years ago, but because of the whole transition, it was pushed off until after the transition. It was pushed off until like the year after. So we've hit that. Also, the way the bylaws are written, it needs to happen within 5 years of, you know, the previous one, so it's time. Now, within WS2, there's a concern about overlap between the work that WS2 is doing and the work that the ATRT3 would do. So they've recommended a limited scope. A limited scope basically to those things. One of the duties of an ATRT is to review all of their previous policy recommendations and the implementation results, then decide, was it done? Was it not done? To what degree was it done? Is any improvement needed, et cetera? So a recommendation that they essentially limit themselves to that, and before, you know, as opposed to going with the bylaws stated wide purpose where they review pretty much anything that has to do with accountability and transparency within ICANN. So I think that's the current situation. Now I think what's going on is that trying to get the ACSO leadership or councils or what have you to sort of make, now the one thing that I question, and here I think I was reporting neutrally up to now, here I'm entering more in my own viewpoint area. I think that the bylaws scope of ATRT is defined in the bylaws, and I don't think WS2 or even the chairs or even the combined councils or perhaps even the enhanced community can change that without, you know, some major efforts. So I think, though, that they can make a recommendation that be done that way. But I think ultimately it's a decision that will need to remain with the ATRT3 itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. And I see Ed has his hand up already. Ed, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Devon. Yeah, Avery stole my thunder at the end. I thought it was a little bit ironic that the first accountability review we were going to do in some ways initially was structured to ignore the bylaws. We'd start accountability by not having accountability. But I do think there's a way to massage it. I think that the limited scope, we went back, and I think it was Morocco when we first started talking about this, and there was even an effort to do away with the ATRT, what is now ATRT3, entirely. Fortunately, I'm happy we didn't do away with it, but we could see some interesting warfare if we actually have a full review between the WS2 work and the ATRT work, both duplication and then Lord knows what happens if they actually disagree on outcome. So I think this is a reasonable approach. I do hope that those, and I guess this is a plea to Avery, that those who were involved with ATRT2 would very much consider serving on ATRT3. I think continuity in that regard, given the special circumstance, would be very, very important. And certainly when we select our members, I certainly will place that, to the extent I'm involved in the selection process, very high in terms of what I'm looking for in folks to serve. But totally agree we should go ahead with this and maybe reduce some volunteer fatigue as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Anybody else? Okay. Do we need to make decisions here at this point? Just note that Avery and Ed explained the situation well enough at this point, and we move on. Okay. Sounds like everybody's satisfied with the explanation story given. Thank you, Avery and Ed. So the next thing on our agenda is the next council meeting next week. Mariam, can you get the council agenda on the screen? Okay, thank you. A bit small, but okay, that's better. Let's look at the agenda there. The first decision item or consent agenda item there, item 3.1, is the confirmation of continuation of James Bladel as the interim representative to the Empowered Community Administration. Ed, you want to comment on this one? Please go ahead. Ed? Hello, Ed. You want to speak? certainly can't hear you if you are speaking. Okay, sounds like Ed lost connection for a moment or something. Does anybody else want to comment on the...
Can you hear me now, Tapani?
And James. Okay, now you can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay, I gave a brilliant speech that was lost. Okay, basically what this is until we have the new bylaws that we worked on in the bylaws drafting team, and thank Amar on the record for his contributions on the drafting team, but until we get that done, we have to keep reappointing James as the interim representative to the empowered community because we don't have the procedures in place for the permanent representative. I would suggest, at least as a discussion point when this comes up, we should inquire as to whether we can just make this a longer-term appointment so we don't have to keep coming back to this every few months. We're not going to have the bylaws in place for a half year to a year, so why not appoint James for the duration? Just a suggestion, but I don't see any obstacle to this. The EC hasn't met. I don't anticipate it meeting anytime soon until we get done with WS2 at least. Again, I think this is more or less a pro forma action, but we will have to vote on it.
Okay, thank you, Ed. So certainly this is not any controversial in any way. So this is different. We don't have to talk much more unless someone wants to comment whether we should make a motion that let's do this for a longer term. But I don't expect the council to spend much time discussing it anyway, so it's not a big deal either way. Anything else? Ed, your hand is still up. Is it an old hand or you want to continue? Okay. Seeing no other hands up, moving on. Then the item 4 on the council agenda is actually the only real, okay, it's another second real, I think you may have to vote on, approval of final report from the WHOIS Conflict with National Laws Procedure Implementation Advisory Group. Does anybody want to comment this one? I see Stephanie is missing from the call, unfortunately. Anybody else? Okay, my understanding is that this report is likely to pass. And that's not really problematic as such, even though I'm not really an expert on this one. Does anybody else want to comment here? Anybody planning to vote against it? Ed, again, please go ahead. Can't hear you. Still making great speeches that nobody can hear. Okay, I guess we have to do without Ed's comment on that one for whether it's...
I'm sorry, Tapani, is this worry? I'm having some trouble with my phone. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm awfully sorry, guys, about the phone. Yeah, what I was trying to say is I read the report last night, really for the first time, and it's not... perfect. There are some issues. So you asked if anyone's going to vote against it. I don't intend to vote against it, but I want to talk to Stephanie. I want to talk to Kathy Kleinman. I mean, there's a chance I could abstain. I just want to hear from those folks who more or less are experts on this field as to whether they're satisfied that the report is the best we could get. But I feel it. There are things in there which I think are problematic from a legal standpoint. It no longer puts the registrars in jeopardy, but, you know, there are problems. And, again, I'd like to talk to Stephanie and Kathy to see if there was any realistic chance to make it better or if there still is a chance to make it better before I would get to voting for it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ed. Yes, we indeed don't lack the experts on this agenda. So we can't really talk much on the substance. But let's put in the counselors present that please be in touch with Stephanie and Kathy about that before the meeting. We can actually discuss it in Reykjavik before the council call, I hope. Okay. Moving on. Ed, did you leave your hand up again as an old hand? Okay. The next item is discussion item only. Proposal to limit the scope of the upcoming third accountability and transparency review. Well, that's what we actually talked about on our call already. Anybody has anything to add at this point? No? Okay, moving on. The next discussion item also proposed charter for the Standing Selection Committee, which we, again, discussed as a separate item already. So no need to return to that either. Okay, Ed, you want to add something at this point? Please go ahead. Again, lost your sound. Okay, since Rafik, you have your hand up, please do take the floor while we wait for Ed to fix his audio. Rafik, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So, Rafik speaking. For the RBS or the HOE's review team, I think it's also somehow related to the selection process. So while it's mostly about to agree about the timeline, I think it will include the discussion about the selection process that it was introduced in the beginning of the call. I think also we have some candidates from NCAG, and so we need to get at least one in the review team. And I think if we can tweak the selection process and get it done, we have a chance to have representative there in the review team. This is one of the important, the ITRT, also I think it's related to the ongoing work in the RDS working group. So, even if it's just discussion for now at the council level, it's something we have to follow closely and to ensure that we have representation there.
Thank you, Rafik. So actually jumped to the item 7 about who is review team, but that's fine because at this point. Ed, can you, does your audio work now? You still want to speak? Still can't hear you, Ed. Okay. Guess your Ed's phone is broken forever or something. Anybody else want to comment on the... Well, actually, if you want to go back to the selection committee team, but rather the WHOIS review team. Heard Rafik's point, which is good. We should get someone in there. Nobody else wants to...
Tapani, I think we covered the discussion about the selection...
agreed.
The process from the beginning for the first agenda item. So,
yes, I just raised the possibility if somebody wants to go on. So, but the WHOIS review team is now anybody on that one? Apart from what you, Rafik, just said, that is fine. Anybody want to add anything? Still can't hear it, so presume we lost him. Okay, let's move on. look at the preparation for joint meetings at ICANN 58, discussion item again. Does anybody want to have anything to say about this? Just a discussion item. And I guess there's nothing we need to talk about now then. Next, item 9, ICANN Council discussion. Proposed Council response to letter from TICHUIS implementation review team. Again, I wish we had Stephanie here, but we don't. Anybody else want to comment on this letter? I wonder who that was. Okay, so I'll just hope our counselors will be in touch with Stephanie and others in the group before, just in case there is something we're missing here. Okay, then the final item there is council discussion of finalizing the meeting schedule for ICANN 58. Just 5 minutes discussion. Anything here we should be bringing up? Or anybody other comments? No? Okay. Is there anything, any other business on the council agenda that somebody's like to raise? Ed, your hand keeps going up, but I can't hear you speak. If you can, audio works, please go ahead.
Okay, let me test my audio first. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Please.
Fantastic. Yeah, I intend, and I think this is a good place to do it because we're going to, those of us, those counselors who will be in Reykjavik, which I guess is everyone except for my dear friend and colleague, Rafiq, we'll be able to coordinate this a bit. And Aubrey will be there because it was her intervention in India, I believe, that leads to what I'm going to try to bring up under any other business. Council now meets on the day before the council meeting in a so-called informal session. We close the doors. We don't record anything. We have beer and wine, and we do all of our real work. We've had amazing debates and a lot of victories for the NCSG. Part of the reason I don't like this setup is I don't get to toot my own horn. I've done good there. Stefania, when you've been in these sessions, you participated because we allow the SG chairs as well as I believe the constituency chairs to participate. But it's all done behind closed doors. And then we get up to the Dog and Pony Show the next day where it seems like council is a very homogenous, very boring and uninteresting place. So Aubrey basically went up to the microphone in India and said, hey, this isn't what you're supposed to do. You gotta at least vote in closing meetings before you start closing them. And so I intend to bring this up under any other business because we get some pro forma. Yeah, you're right. We have to do something. But in reality, I don't believe our leadership really wants to do anything. I was told confidentially the reason the rule is in place is because of the NCSG, that we used to be passionate and used to have disagreements that were in public view, and that was not desired by some. I'd suggest we want to have things open in public. It might create interest so people actually want to be counselors, for example. So I intend to bring this up. I intend to talk to my fellow counselors about the problem, listen to their responses. But frankly, in my view, we need to start voting to close the meetings, or we need to start opening them up. We need to start recording them. We need to start making this part of an open, transparent process of policymaking within the GNSO. I haven't been able to get this on the agenda for some reason, so I'm going to use AOB to be able to bring this up. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. If that's really been SESG leadership wants it that way, that's news to me. I certainly would have no problem in making them open and recorded and everything. And it would be
my apologies
to hear what happens.
NCSG, I meant to say GNSO leadership. My apologies.
Okay, you said just leadership, I guess so, but I was trying to clarify that it certainly shouldn't be NCSG leadership. You did say that NCSG has been I guess you imply that it's reasonable because some other people don't want to see their dirty laundry in public or something we've been discussing, but say that kind of things. Maybe. Okay. But either way, I'm happy you'll be bringing it up. Anybody else? Anything else? The council agenda. Rafik, please go ahead.
Hello. Sorry, I'm just asking for clarification. I'm not sure what are we at item eight and talking about planning for meeting in Copenhagen and rising concern about the GNSO Council preparatory meeting or something like that?
Ah, yes. Suggesting that this is the point that I about to make myself fit item 8 instead of as an AOB.
Okay, because also we still have, so I'm not sure now, are we kind of, okay, so I think because we still have item 8 in the agenda with regard to prepare the joint meetings, and then item 10, about the finalization of GNSO meeting schedule, and still in item 9 there is it's quite important about the council response to letter from the HECO's implementation review team. So it's just this element.
I did ask for opinions on that. I guess you missed it. But if you want to speak on that, these items, please go ahead.
Okay. I don't have. Okay, so okay, sorry, it's some that we jumped quickly the item. That's why I missed it. For the item 9, and for that it was more an issue that is followed by Amr, but he just resigned today, and we are working for a response, and it's Eric Kaman who took the lead, I think, with Mikele to draft, and she sent initial draft few days ago, and I think with that regard, we are asking about the legal, again, a legal review, because a lot of change happened lately, in particular in the European Union. So kind of, I think we will get more to discuss in the coming days, but I think as far as I recall, the first draft was like sent 1 or 2 days ago. But for the about the items related to the meeting, I think we get the draft schedule for Copenhagen, and I think it's a good idea for everyone to check, in particular if they find any kind of clash or an issue there, and so we can highlight it at the council. And also it's good to, if I'm not sure if the for NCAG meeting we are fine with the scheduled slot or not for our own meeting.
Okay, thank you, Rafik. Make good points there that should keep in mind. Anybody else on anything related to the council agenda? Rafik, your hand is still up. You want to continue? Is that an old hand? Avery.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Where's my microphone? There's no microphone. Avery speaking. One question I had on that, and here we're talking about the overall schedule for the upcoming meeting, if I understand correctly, though I'm not sure. I don't understand the way we've hit conflicts all over the schedule where we have PDPs are having meeting against each other, and it's really quite awkward to have people that may be involved in several, because that's just the way it happens, and unable to make them. So I'm quite concerned about the schedule I saw, and I don't know if that's part of the discussion you're having, but the number of conflicts in that schedule are problematic. Thanks.
Thank you, Ari. Casey, Ed, you have your hand up again.
Yeah, I just wanted to let Ari know, when I saw the initial schedule, particularly with what you've referenced in terms of the PDP conflicts, I immediately contacted Donna Austin. She's been alerted. She's trying to, specifically for that area, is trying to do something, because it is absolutely mind-boggling that we're actually having PDPs competing against each other in the same time blocks. And I think it's, again, Donna has been the council person who has been involved in meeting strategy. I think she's done an admirable job. She certainly has tried. But I'm starting to question whether the meeting staff even is listening to the GNSO like they should. I think that's something we do need to continue to talk about at council. But hopefully by the time we get to the meeting, the PDPs will not be competing against each other. At least that's the goal. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. Rafik, you have your hand up again.
Okay. So I'm happy to hear that Donna is looking maybe to fix this issue, but my understanding that maybe it's coming from the GNSO in first place, because in the initial block schedule, they put, they kind of allocated the slots in Saturday, and I think in Wednesday morning for the PDP. And there was, I think, from the beginning some expectation that there will be some clashes between a different PDP, cross-community working group, or other GNSO structure that, I mean, a group that they will have a meeting. So I think it's maybe somehow there was some expectation there will be some clash there. But happy to hear that Donna maybe an expectation that the GNSO leadership, including the chair, the vice chair, they are going to work on that. So I think the problem maybe started from the beginning with the block schedule, which kind of put some limitation of what the PDP working group, when they can have their own session or meetings.
Okay, thank you, Rafik. Ed, you raised your hand again.
Yeah, this is very quickly, Tapani. For counselors on the call, on Saturday night, the 11th, the last item on the agenda should still be, or at least was, a fireside chat with Glenn, who, as you know, is stepping down, has already stepped down, is now just a consultant for ICON. We will be having our council dinner at beginning at 7:30 that night. I've set up the restaurant where we're all good to go, and it's going to be a special council dinner that we're going to try to celebrate and honor Glenn's career right after a fireside chat. So I hope everyone can come. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. I'm sure everyone will be eager to participate in any dinners you organize. Anything else on the council agenda? Copenhagen or anything else? Ed, I'm assuming that's an old hand, just in case you want to speak more. Okay. I guess we're done with the council agenda then. Let's have a look at the public comments next. There are only four open at the moment. The first one is a proposed charter amendment to the business constituency. I'm not sure we have anything much to say about those, unless somebody has read the proposal and found something interesting there, but somehow I don't think it's really our business how the business constituency does their business. Okay, Ed, please go ahead.
I just want to note they seem to have made it easier to join, and the dues are going to be lowered. So I don't think we need to comment, but just so folks understand, they do seem to be opening up a bit, and I think that's a good thing. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that observation, Ed. Anybody else? Okay. The next one is the release of a country and territory names, a long list of them. I can know sex or whatever. Do we have anything to say about these? We don't have any Walters here with complaining about Dot Walter, I think. I guess this is not something we have much interest in either. Fourth one. GNSO initial report on the INGO access to curative rights protection mechanism policy development process. Does this rouse any passions among our councillors or anybody else? Rafik, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I'm volunteering or whatever for this, but if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a webinar about this process, and maybe it's worthy to find the record and listen to it. So it's kind of have been an issue for a long time now, and I think something we may want to place a comment, but it means also we need to find a volunteer to do so. And I see that we have short time to do so, to fill a comment. So.
Thank you, Rafik. Yes, I thought this might be something we might want to comment on, but finding anybody willing to dig into it and draft one in the fairly short amount of time we have left may not be so easy. Anybody else want to comment on this? Even if you don't, feel free to comment, even if you don't want to volunteer to draft anything. Rafik, your hand is still up. You want to continue, or is it an old hand? Okay. Seems nobody has much interest to say more. And I suspect the last open comment isn't one of our key interests either. The reference Japanese label generation rules for the second level. I don't think we have anybody here who speaks Japanese or wants to comment on it otherwise. So that's about it for the public comments. The only one. Okay. Oh, yes, of course, Rafik. You speak Japanese. You would have forgotten. Sorry. So do you have an opinion on the Japanese label generation rules? Okay. And I see, Ed, you have your hand up.
Actually, it's for the next one. I didn't know if you were concluding, but I'm sure we're going to want to weigh in on the at-large review since we're mentioned in it.
Okay, yeah, the Japanese one. I just note that if Rafik promises to take a look if there is something we want to comment on. Thank you, Rafik, for that. But the next one is indeed the at-large review draft report. So, Ed, you wanted to speak on that? Go ahead. Ed, anybody on the at-large review draft report? Hello? Ed, did you want to speak about the at-large report? Is anybody else? There's lots of interesting stuff there, but okay, Rafik, please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Stefani. I think there was some interest expressed by several members before on different non-commercial mailing lists about the at-large review report. So I think it's still worth maybe to check. Myself, I didn't read it yet, so I don't have any position, but I think it's always good to read and to see if we have any thing we want to submit for the comment or if something that may concern us directly. The challenge is just that at least some the deadline just after the Copenhagen meeting and so on. So if we want really want to submit a comment, maybe just worth it to get volunteers from now. So and I want to say that we'll see at the policy committee level in terms of planning and try to follow up with all these public comments. So and to ensure at least we can respond to some of them if we can get volunteers to make initial drafting for the statement.
Okay, thank you, Rafik. So I take it the policy committee under your leadership will take on and try to find volunteers for drafting a comment on this one. Anybody else? Okay, that was the last public comment, open public comment at the moment. Anybody want to return to any of these? In case I've been going too fast, now is a good time to remind me something I missed. Okay. If not, let's move on with our agenda. The last item before AOB I had there was the intersessional meeting preparation. We don't have too many of the intersessional participants here, but still a few, and others might want to weigh in as well. So, as I presume you all know, the next week from Tuesday and Wednesday, and actually on Thursday as well, we'll be in Copenhagen with all our counselors, the only one who wasn't, except Rafik, and Amr, who is no longer our counselor, as well as the executive committees, most of them of both EC and, no, NCUC and NPOC, apart from Farzi, who can't make it because of the U.S. visa policies. I don't have anything specific here, but that because the people I want to talk about are not present. But so at this point, I simply put that the agenda for that is public. Mariam, can you dig up the link to the intersessional agenda? And anybody who wants to have an input there is welcome to do this. So we will have a session with Jiran about whatever we want to talk with Jiran about. And there is, I already called for suggestion on the list. We can, of course, surprise him, but if we want him to prepare for something, we should do so. We will have also access to a couple of board members. And, of course, the actual substance there that we will be discussing with our CSG counterparts, like the compliance, board selection, board member selection procedures, and we actually should be already talking about the people we want for the board. Even though, despite staff suggestion, I don't expect we'll be voting about that yet. I hope we will get the procedure decided. Farzi is talking to Jiran on Monday, I understand. And actually, I will be talking with Jiran before the decision as well. So if you want something, notes to pass to him, by all means, bring it up. Yes, I will be alerting you into something that we may want to talk about as well. So if you have something you want to bring to him right now, it would be a good time, either here or on the list or whatever. Okay, now we get the intersessional agenda coming up. Can you scroll it down? Okay. You'll note that there's also a community overview where we're supposed to highlight our goals and priorities for this year. Okay, Matthew, I see your hand up. I hope you have something you'd come to say about. Please go.
Well, Tapani, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
I'll certainly, hopefully, contribute something. I think we have a unique opportunity between Fazi, yourself, and the intersessional into reinforcing who we are and what we stand for and believe in. Because I think it's we don't get this kind of face time. We don't necessarily have an opportunity to review who we are and what we do and why it's important that we're a part of this community and why our views are important to the success of ICANN. So I think a lot of this, we have quite a period of time at the intersessional with Goran. I think it's a good opportunity for us to restate in relatively clear and I suppose simple terms what our value add to ICANN and the ICANN community is. So I think that's, again, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of your and Fazi's discussion, because I think that will help us a little bit understand. But at the same time, I think those of us who are going to be in Iceland probably should think about highlighting maybe three or four key things about this community, about us, that he needs to know and why he needs to know we're important. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. That's a very good point. Perhaps people would like at this point suggest what those two or three key items would be. Do we know what we want?
Yeah, hi, thanks, Tapani. Yeah, I think we, between you, Fazi, and the group, we have lots of time with Goran. We need to make an impression. I do think it may be valuable to take a minute or two and say, hey, we've been around for, 16, 17 years. Here are some of the contributions we've made. But I also don't want to waste the time and just talk about us, because he's been in office for a bit. Bluntly, I think he has not been a good steward. I think there are some things going on in terms of staff, the IRS specs, the contract policy by contract, things like this that I know I've talked to Kathy about it, and we all need to talk before we go into the meeting and get this thing set up. But I do think we need to take – I've been reading the list, and let's show him the NCSG. We get the CEO for 70 minutes. You and Fazi have him for combined 60 minutes. I think when we get together as a group, we can do both. We can tell them who we are, but we also need to start expressing our concerns about what's going on under his stewardship. He just appointed somebody to the anti-phishing working group. They're going to be getting involved in content. By definition, when you get involved in phishing, you're getting involved in content. So I think we need to start having a little bit of a policy discussion with him as well, not only tell him who we are and what we've done, but how we're looking at what he's done and what ICANN and ICANN staff are doing under his stewardship. Because there's got to be some pushback. I can tell you that the CSG, at least some members of the CSG, intend to bring up the policy by contract and some other issues which basically state that they're starting to ignore the multi-stakeholder model a bit. And I think that we need to coalesce with the CSG, because if we do any of the policy issues, if both the CSG and the NCSG bring up the same issues, I think it would be all that stronger and more important. So I guess what I'm trying to say in my rambling fashion is, when we get to Reykjavik, we should hear, Tavani, from you and from Fazi about what you discussed, what sort of response you had. We should also talk to the CSG colleagues to see what they intend to bring up and try to have a balanced session that includes both, hey, we're the NCSG, this is what we've done. Give him some actual data. He's a regulator from the telecoms industry. State that we did X, Y, and Z. We prevented ICANN from doing this that would have injured the corporation. But then say, hey, we're seeing some of this other stuff going on since you've been here. We don't understand it. Can you maybe explain a little bit about what you're thinking? I want to give you one example from India. Milton brought up the problem, the perceived problem of the potential problem with the complaints officer. And he gave us a very good response that really reassured me that the complaints officer was going to stay strictly into a narrow operationally defined area. Yet now I'm seeing the complaints officer, at the suggestion actually of our ombudsman, is now being brought into reviewing the IDP denials. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, where is he coming from? Is ICANN getting involved in content through the phishing group? Are we getting involved in operations? I mean, one of the reasons Rod Beckstrom was canned was because he got ICANN involved in some cybersecurity stuff in operations. So I guess what I'm trying to find out is, where does he intend to lead and take us? And does he understand that the community, the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process, is supposed to define policy, not him and his staff? Because I'm not sure he does. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Ed. Yes, it would be actually nice if we had a nice documentation of our achievements somewhere. Or even just a few items, I think we can come up with something there. So we want to push Jurgen for that account. Otherwise, on the, yes, Matthew, good question. We have these priorities we are going to share in Iceland, and we don't, not yet, that I know of anyway. So we should come up with that, because that's one session we are supposed to make goals, priorities, and work plans for this year. We should put together a brief presentation. Matthew Shush is typing now. I hope you have a list of priorities you're typing in at the moment. But so I guess it means a little weekend work for some of us trying to come up with that. But yes, we have our own session on every morning there. And we'll have to use those effectively for planning the sessions up ahead. Rafik, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. So just for clarification, because I think we have the Tuesday meeting, which is more like for at constituency or stakeholder group level, and then the Wednesday and Thursday sessions. I think there is expectation to have the remote participation for them. So at least for myself, since I won't be in Iceland, I'm thinking and trying to attend as much as possible, having in mind the time difference, which is plus 9 hours. So so just I want to be sure that I can attend some of them.
Yes, we have been promised that remote participation is available.
Okay. All for all sessions. So, okay.
Yeah, I understand that it should be available for all. Okay, and I noticed Stephanie has indeed joined us, and we did skip a few items here pretty briefly because nobody present knew about them. So Stephanie, okay, I see Avery has already asking you to tell anything about your PDP craft. I guess DPD is about the idea. Stephanie, you want to speak?
Hello, Stephanie Perrin. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Yes, I'm outside the library, so I can't shout. So let me know if I'm dropping my volume too much. We have finally managed to get a slot with the data commissioners, which you will see on that draft agenda that was sent around. It's on the opening day. It is now a high-interest topic. We are, as predicted, getting some pressure to put different people on the high-interest topic representing some of the other viewpoints, notably intellectual property and law enforcement. They have proposed, or somebody proposed, Becky Burr, and I'd be very happy to have Becky there because she has a clue. I don't know whether, how that's going to end. James Bledel was pushing us to try to meet these concerns. He's not really showing much leadership, frankly, if I may say so. But we have a number of folks already coming. The EDPS is coming. The Special UN Rapporteur for Privacy is coming. There will be someone from the Article 29 Working Group. I thought it was Isabel Falk-Perron, the chair, but I'm not actually sure. I haven't checked with Peter. Our principal problem that we have at the moment is I'm not sure who's staying till Wednesday, and our slot is supposed to be Wednesday morning, the NCSG slot. And so I'm trying to get at least the EDPS briefer, namely Achim Kabunda, to hang around and come and see us then. In the meantime, on the RDS craft, as Avery calls it, and believe me, I'm so close to walking away, it's blinding on some days. Chuck has had me and Peter give a little presentation the other day on how the data protection community views the matter of purpose specification, because clearly we were having a dialogue of the deaf between the engineers, the intellectual property lawyers, and us in terms of defining the purpose of why ICANN collects registration data. And as predicted, we haven't convinced anyone, except the engineers, maybe. So that will continue, that argument. And we are moving into the privacy module. So, this is where we sort the stuff out. We're getting quite a bit of support, I would say, from the technical community, guys like the SSAC guys that are there, Andrew Sullivan and James Galvin. I would definitely love to have James Galvin on the panel with the data commissioners, so I was waiting until the dust settled, and I'm going to propose that. So that's kind of what's going on. At least we finally got that session. For those who were wondering what has been happening since Hyderabad, Peter was dealing with Nigel Hickson and the Government Advisory Committee, who were supposed to be hosting this because, after all, the Council of Europe is an observer on the GAC, and they just weren't making up their minds. So stalling works really well, All of a sudden, oh, my God, there's no time left. It's too late to put in the bids. We can't do it. Sorry. So that's what's been happening. Peter and I were both in Brussels at the big European Data Protection Conference 2 weeks ago, end of January. We talked to many of the key players, and we can get some of them to show up and help us out. So how's that for a summary?
That was a good summary for those items, sure. And you'll provide a couple of things we covered when you were going, what was the Copenhagen agenda, and of course a couple of council items we basically skipped because you're the only one who would know about anything about them. Just to have something to say about the final report from the WHOIS conflict for national laws procedure implementation advisory group
I do. As you know, I had proposed a motion to look at the examine the policy. There is some question as to the conflation of these whole issues. As the WHOIS review team, we don't know who's on it yet. There is the fact that that conflicts with law policy needs to be examined in the context of the RDS group that I'm on. And with respect to the trigger, they're accepting the new trigger, but the fact is the policy doesn't work. So, you know, Marika came up with this compromise where we would immediately, i.e. April, I believe, or May, start a new group looking at the implementation of the conflicts with law policy. Now, I will ask at the GNSO meeting, well, this will be different from the last time. And believe me, the last time was absolutely bar none the most stupid policy discussion ever engaged in. And, you know, after 35 years in government, I got some track history there, you know. It was just nonsense, and we were getting nowhere. So don't see how the charter of the new group is going to be different if we don't change the policy. The policy's wrong. So I'm not going to hold it up. I may abstain if I don't get a good answer. But Marika seems to have cooked it up. So if she can explain it, fine. But the last time, you know, it was just a headbanging exercise. So does that help on that? I'd like to know who's going to be on the WHOIS review team. I actually have no time anymore, but we definitely need someone pretty skilled to be on that. And by skilled, I don't mean that someone without the experience isn't skilled. I mean you got to have the history in your head or they're going to pull a fast one, in my view, just saying. So it's kind of hard. Anybody's heard anything about the WHOIS review team? I'd love to know. I haven't.
I was kind of hoping you'd had, because nobody else seems to. As another council item on the WHOIS term is this letter from the FIC WHOIS Representation Review Team. There was council response.
Oh, if I could jump in again, Stefani, on
yes,
the
I was kind of hoping
is.
You would.
Mm-hmm. Is Amar on the call?
Amar is no longer on our council. He's not up, as you may not have heard, I think.
No. What happened?
Amar is he joined the staff as of this morning.
I'm very happy for him. That's probably great. But I'm sorry to lose him. That's terrible. On the other hand, we need decent staff in there, so, you know, kind of a Pyrrhic victory here. Well, on the thick who is, Eric Aman has proposed a request for a new legal opinion for council, because I think there is an understanding that the legal opinion that the thick who is PDP was working on was, dare I say, woefully inadequate. I mean, it was woefully inadequate long before SHRMS and long before the new regulation and, you know, all of the court precedents that are influencing data protection in Europe. But at least there's a recognition that this might be a problem. And for those not following the whole FIC thing, the issue is the transport of data from Europe to VeriSign in the United States, in Virginia, I think, to be precise. That is affected by the SHRMS decision and by the requirement to keep data safe, and there is no constitutional way to protect that data. So the registrars in Europe were thinking, okay, we're off the hook. This personal data is now VeriSign's problem. We don't have to manage the WHOIS lookup, but they also are still responsible for transferring it to ICANN. All of a sudden, I would note there's a whole lot more interest in my allegation that ICANN is a data controller, because that's who gets the fines under the new regulation. And the fines are 4% of your gross I'm not sure exactly how you describe it. 4% of earnings is the peak. And some of the European data commissioners are starting to give some serious fines already, the Dutch one in particular. So the whole fix thing, they'll get another legal opinion, but if it's done by legal counsel at ICANN, it'll be probably as useless as the last one, in my opinion. So.
Thank you. So it's about as messy as I feared.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nobody volunteering for the WHOIS review team that I know of. I guess we'll have to call for volunteers if you are not up to it, because I'm not sure if anybody else knows even close to be enough of this stuff. Okay. Anything? That's about it then, but any other business on our agenda. And one of the items I just noted that, which everybody except Stephanie apparently had heard, that Amr now told us this morning that he's joined the staff and is no longer a counselor, so we need to replace him. I'm going to send out a call for volunteers to the discussion list, testing to see if we have anybody who wants to be a counselor for the rest of the year. But that's an issue, that not only having shortage of people in the council, that he's also been really effective one and been tracking a number of things in the work that nobody else has. So it'd not be easy to replace him. Rafik, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. I guess for the time being, we can use the proxy vote till the NCAD charter, so the executive committee will appoint someone till the next election. And so I'm not sure. So I guess I assume that there will be some discussion on the executive committee level and how to proceed exactly here. But for the time being, I think the proxy vote should. Thanks, Harvey. So we need to appoint someone at least temporarily alternate. Okay. Sorry.
Yes, Avi, I did this discussion with others already, that it's not entirely clear, but my conclusion was as well that the proxy would not work. So I'm trying to, and I posted on this to the executive committee already that we are going to have this on our next meeting, but I think we'll have to get a quick decision to temp out, maybe just for one meeting before we can have a longer discussion, but still. Well, that's an executive committee decision, but discussion here is, yes, Sarah, you are correct. We can change it any time. Problem is that we have to, getting the EC to want something means that the consensus on the EC, and that's always a bit, sometimes a bit difficult.
Stephanie, again, sorry.
Yes,
fix it. Reading what Avi is saying, I think it can be in two phases just for now, because we have the council meeting next week. We need temporary alternate, and I think someone experienced that can be a former GENASO councillor and so on, so that can be appointed as not appointed, but just as temporary alternate for that council call, and then thinking more about kind of replacement till the next election. So that there are two issues here, just maybe for the next call, and then thinking about something more kind of midterm for this year.
Thank you for that, Rafik. That kind of follows my thinking as well. Ed, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dipani. Yeah, I mean, you do need a tempol. You can't proxy nothing. An MPC can't give a proxy because an MPC can't function. If you recall, when I took my so-called leave from council, and because of the selection stuff, I actually did more work in council while on leave than I ever did while on council not on leave. But it took the EC largely 6 weeks to settle on someone to replace me for 2 months. And as a result, Martin, who was gracious enough to step up and do it, really didn't get the full experience. We have lots of folks, though, that will be in Reykjavik. Aubrey, Matt has been a tempol from the past, did a great job. So, I mean, we have enough people there. So I would suggest we do it for one meeting, but then I love your idea of opening it up to everybody on list. We keep saying we want new blood. Here's an opportunity to get some. So it's full endorsement of trying to open it up to see who out there wants to step up and wants to give us a shot. We don't know how many seats are going to be available. I know a few of us are unsure we'll be continuing, and we're continuing the discussion. So, you know, there may be more than one seat available. There may just be this one seat. We don't know yet. But certainly we should try to finalize that decision. Those who are considering not because of their own personal situations that they may not be able to go on, I would hope everyone can reach a decision by Reykjavik, and then you can proceed there. So there may be more than one position. I think folks should know that. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed. Yes, that's why I was actually going to issue a call to the discuss list for just to see if there are any volunteers, because this will be the rest of the year, but we can make a quick decision just for Reykjavik. And I think I intend to try to do that. It's easier to get the EC to agree on something like that first, and then we have an EC meeting in 2 weeks and have this on the agenda already in any case. But a quick decision is needed for Reykjavik, for the next week's council meeting. Any other comments on this one? Ed, your hand is still up. Is that an old hand? I guess. Anybody else? Okay, so that's for just basically for information, but I'm glad to hear that you basically follow up on my thing that we need a temporary out and we should try to get someone for next week quickly. Any other business for this call? Anything at all we should talk about? Now is a good time. We still have half an hour to go if we need to. Okay, seems we don't. In that case, thank you, everybody. Let's close the call. Goodbye. Good night, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be. You can stop the recording.